Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. My name is Gabe. I'm so glad you could join us today, and I know your English will improve. Now, have you ever been in a hospital? I know. What a great question, right? What was the experience like? Of course, nobody would prefer to stay in a hospital when they could be at home. However, many of today's hospitals are so much better than they were in the past, thanks to one person. That's right, the title of our lesson is The Story of Florence Nightingale. Yesterday we learned about how Florence Nightingale vowed to make hospitals cleaner. Today let's answer these questions, okay? Here's the first one. What was Florence Nightingale's biggest problem? What was Florence Nightingale's biggest problem? The answer is in the first section. And next, why wouldn't doctors listen to Ms. Nightingale? Why wouldn't doctors listen to Florence Nightingale? That will be in part two. Okay, look for these answers in our lesson. Well, friends, let's get started.
The Story of Florence Nightingale. Florence knew she had much to learn about nursing, so she visited hospitals in France, Germany, and Ireland, and learned everything she could. Upon returning home, she was an expert on hospital management. In 1853, Florence agreed to take over a small London hospital. Her biggest problem was finding good, trained nurses, so she decided to train them herself. Soon, people began to study her methods of nursing, sanitation, and hospital organization. About a year later, Britain became involved in a war against Russia. London newspapers were full of stories about the terrible conditions wounded and sick soldiers were suffering.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看 sanitation 这个不可数名词 ,sanit 这个字根是指健康，所以 sanitation 是指公共卫生或者是环境卫生。例如 ,this area's poor sanitation is the reason for the fast spread of the disease here. 这个区域环境卫生太糟糕，导致这个疾病快速的在这里蔓延。或者是 ,the restaurant was fined by the sanitation department because their food was not stored at the proper temperature. 这家餐厅因为食物没有存放在正确温度而被卫生局开罚单了。继续我们看的是 suffer 这个动词。suffer 是指受痛苦或折磨。例如 ,the cancer patient is suffering tremendous pain. 这位癌症病人忍受着极大的痛苦。如果要说明因为某种疾病而受苦的话，是用 from 这个介系词。例如 ,the girl has been suffering from asthma since she was very little. 这个女孩从很小的时候就患有气喘。suffer 也指受损伤或影响。例如 ,Mike's marriage suffers because he's always working. Mike 总是在工作以至于婚姻受到影响。
All right, friends, let's continue learning about Florence Nightingale and her influence in the medical world. Okay, we learned yesterday that Florence Nightingale saw how dirty the hospitals were, and she vowed to change that. She was going to make a difference.
Yes, she did. So the question is, did she make a difference? Well, we read right here, Florence knew she had much to learn about nursing, so she visited hospitals in France, Germany, and Ireland and learned everything that she could. You know something, Gabe? I think that Florence was very determined to make a difference. If she wasn't really interested, then she wouldn't have traveled to all these different hospitals in different countries to learn as much as she could. Yes,
she wanted to learn a lot, Rebecca. She was kind of like a sponge, actually. She was able to absorb a lot because she wanted to learn. Is that like you, friends? And Rebecca, what do you have in your hand?
Gabe, I've got a sponge right here. Oh. Yes, Florence Nightingale was just like a sponge. You know how sponges work? You take the sponge and you put it in water, and then it absorbs all the water. You take the sponge out of the water, it's really heavy because all the water is in the sponge.
Very nice. So people can be like a sponge as well. Often I might hear people say that children are like sponges. That means they're listening carefully, they pick up a lot, and they learn a lot at that young age, right? They absorb everything, and they remember the things that you say, even when you think they weren't listening sometimes. They're like a sponge.
So sometimes you really do need to be careful about what you say when children are around. You know, that actually reminds me of my niece. I have a six-year-old little niece. She is so cute. But one day, well, when I was back in the States, she just said something. And I was like, where on earth did she learn that? And then I realized that she must have been listening to one of my conversations with my mom.
Interesting. You thought you were just having a private conversation with your mom, but your niece actually heard everything that you said, so she repeated it.
Yes. Yes,
she's like a sponge.
She is like a sponge. And you know who else is like a sponge?
Who's that?
Florence Nightingale.
Ah, yes, because she tried to learn everything that she could. If you are a really studious person at school, and you don't just waste your time at school, but you try to learn as much as you can, you could say that you're like a sponge as well, especially if you find something interesting. Now, there's something interesting about this phrase. I was talking to my British friend recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sponge has a different meaning in England. And friends, we don't have time to talk about it now. You can look that up. But depending on where you go in the world, phrases like this could mean different things.
So you may need to be careful about when you use this phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, continuing, we read, upon returning home, she was an expert on hospital management. In 1853, Florence agreed to take over a small London hospital. Her biggest problem was finding good, trained nurses. So she decided to train them herself. What a great solution.
And that is actually the answer to the question I asked earlier, right? What was Florence Nightingale's biggest problem? Finding the people that needed to help her in the hospitals, okay? She needed to find good, trained nurses. So she trained them herself. Soon people began to study her methods of nursing, sanitation, and hospital organization. Friends, yes, a hospital should be a clean and sanitary place.
Sanitary, yes, and we want to discuss that word. If something is sanitary, that means that it is clean and it's not dangerous for your health. So, hospitals should be sanitary. Restaurants should also be very sanitary. And the kitchens?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to some places that are not very sanitary, and it's not good for one's health.
That's right, and it's not just about looking clean, it's also about having no germs, okay? Real sanitation, being really sanitary, is super clean. All right, about a year later, Britain became involved in a war against Russia. London newspapers were full of stories about the terrible conditions, and sick soldiers were suffering. Well, friends, we have more to learn with Steve and Ken about British words in the Info Cloud.
Occasionally, we mention how languages are always growing and developing. Now, while languages do change, we don't mean they're evolving towards perfection. It would be incorrect to say English is better or closer to perfection than it was, say, 150 years ago.
Right. Another quality of languages is that they do not change at a steady rate. There might be long stretches in a language's life where very little changes, but then there might be a period of quick and wide-ranging change.
So, how quickly is English changing? Are the changes fast enough that we can detect them?
Consider a report that recently came out about how certain English words, words deeply rooted in the vocabulary of the British, are quietly fading away.
For instance, the way Brits say goodbye, cheerio. Well, cheerio, cheerio, you're slowly being taken over by the more American goodbye.
Another fading word is the very British marvelous. It's slowly losing ground to the much more popular awesome.
There are always those who would object to these changes, but there's really no use fighting them. Trying to stop a language from changing is like trying to stop the ocean tides.
英文是一个活的语言，活的语言是会不断的evolve演变，演变的结果并不一定臻于完美，所以我们并不能说我们今天讲的英文优于100年前人们讲的英文。另外，演变的频率也是不规则的，一个语言也许会停滞好一段时间，然后过了好几年又开始快速的发展演变。 一下子出现一堆新的单词用法俚语等等，美式英语的演变往往会影响英式英语，像英国人以往常用的cheerio再会已经被美语的goodbye所取代，英国人以往常讲的marvelous也被广泛被年轻人所用的awesome所取代。要阻止语言的演变是几乎不可能的事，我们唯一能做的就是 自我的调试，这就是今天的InfoCloud，下次专见。
I like to go there in my sleep. Oh, hello and welcome back to Studio Classroom. Just cleaning up the floor here with a sponge. You know, this kind of reminds me of Florence Nightingale. She was like a sponge. She went to France, Germany, and Ireland to learn everything that she could. So we could say, because she was learning so much, she was like a sponge that absorbs all this water. Friends, are you like a sponge as well when it comes to learning things? We have more to learn about Florence Nightingale, so let's do that together now.
The story of Florence Nightingale. Sidney Herbert, the Secretary of War, asked Florence to help care for the wounded and sick. Needless to say, Florence agreed to go. When Florence and the nurses arrived at the British hospital in Scutari, in modern-day Istanbul, they were horrified. The hospital left men lying on the floor, and rats were running everywhere. There was no running water and no heat. Many soldiers died before receiving help. In spite of the shortage of staff, the doctors wouldn't listen to her. They didn't like the idea of women in army hospitals. Until one day, 500 unexpected casualties arrived.
OK, 接下来我们看的是 needless to say 这个成语。 needless 是指不必要的， 所以 needless to say 没有必要说， 就是指当然或者是不用说。 例如 needless to say Howard's job performance is the best in our team， 不用说 Howard的工作表现是我们团队中最好的。 或者是 needless to say all major companies are showing an interest in this mega size project， 不用说，所有的大公司都对这个超级规模的案子感兴趣。最后我们看的是 shortage 这个名词，我们看到这个字里面有 short s-h-o-r-t 短的这个形容词，所以 shortage 是指缺少或者是缺乏。例如 there's a severe shortage of food and drinking water in this refugee camp， 这个难民营严重的缺食物以及饮用水。 或者是 the summer camp was canceled due to a shortage of funds. 这个夏令营因为资金不足而取消了。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Okay, so continuing learning about Florence Nightingale, we read Sidney Herbert, the Secretary of War, asked Florence to help care for the wounded and sick. Needless to say, Florence agreed to go. Okay, so here we have Florence Nightingale, and she had read in the London newspapers that there were terrible stories or stories of the terrible conditions and sick soldiers were suffering. And guess what? The Secretary of War asked Florence to go help take care of these sick soldiers, and Florence decided to go.
Needless to say, she decided to go. Now, why would we see this phrase in this sentence? We know enough about Florence Nightingale now that we know she would decide to go. That's why we see the phrase needless to say. Okay, if we didn't know a lot, then of course we would need to be told, oh, well, Florence decided to go, and we would need to know why, right? But we already know that Florence is a compassionate person, so needless to say, of course she decided and agreed to go.
So here are a few other ways or examples as to how you could use this phrase. Needless to say, Johnny won't be visiting this summer. Or needless to say, Sally will still have to pay for the books.
Okay, well, how about this one?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I got up at 4 a.m., I exercised a lot, I went to work, I went to an interview after that. Needless to say, I'm really tired. So you know that I'm tired. I don't need to say that. Needless to say, I'm tired.
That's a great example.
So then here's something funny about this phrase. I always wonder, why does this phrase even exist? I mean, if you don't need to say it, then why say it?
Well, were you going to answer your question?
I don't know. I just think that's kind of a funny thing about this phrase. But friends, it is a useful phrase to know. You might see it in writing, or someone might say it in conversation as well.
Okay, so back to Florence Nightingale. So we already learned that she decided, needless to say, she decided that she would go and take care of these wounded soldiers. And we learned that when she arrived at the hospital, men were lying on the ground. There were rats running everywhere. It sounds like it was a very unsanitary hospital.
Yes. Well, we go down to the last paragraph now when we read, in spite of the shortage of staff, that means there weren't very many people working there, the doctors wouldn't listen to her. All right. Let's take a look at that phrase, in spite of. Okay. This means that even with this circumstance, she's still going to do this thing, okay? She's still going to do what she wants to do in spite of the terrible circumstances.
For example, in spite of his broken foot, Stephen will still go with us to Thailand. Well, friends, we have more to learn about Florence Nightingale later, but right now it's time for the SC Challenge.
All right, here is your first question. What is your name?
Tim.
You are correct. All right. Now, here's the challenge for you. It has to do with our lesson about Florence Nightingale. Tim, who is the most compassionate person you've ever met? Or one of the most compassionate people that you know?
I'd say...
This is really hard. It's really hard. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Doris?
Wait, Doris, like from Finding Nemo? The little fish?
I think that's Dory.
Oh, that's Dory.
That's Dory,
oh.
Not Doris. is that what you were thinking, Tim?
No.
He wasn't thinking about Dory.
So what makes Doris such a compassionate person?
Wait, can you tell which Doris are you talking about?
What's with... What's compassion again?
Yeah, you know, very compassionate, very loving. I think he's talking about Doris Brome, the founder of Studio Classroom. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay.
So what makes her such a compassionate person?
She loves everyone. Like, she has such a heart for Taiwan. So...
She really does. and she is a compassionate person. Mm-hmm. I would say she's also a very generous person, but I'm not the one answering the question here. Okay, so she's a very compassionate person. Now, I have another question for you here. What kinds of things do you absorb like a sponge?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're learning something and you like really like to eat it up and you just want to learn all about it, what do you absorb like a sponge?
I absorb food like a sponge.
Can you absorb food?
Yes, because...
Rebecca, don't you?
You absorb food?
Yes. Tim, we love that answer. I like to absorb food as well, just like a sponge. Friends, that's all the time we have for today. How would you answer these questions? Who is the most compassionate person you've ever met? And what do you absorb like a sponge? Tim, thank you so much.
High five.
See you next time.
What are you doing here? This is a hospital.
Yes, and I am a nurse.
But you're a woman.
That is true. I'm a woman sent by the Secretary of War to help the wounded and the sick.
Needless to say, I'm not about to listen to a woman.
Sir, I have visited hospitals in France, Germany, and Ireland. I am an expert on hospital management.
Yes, but you're still a woman.
Yes, a very experienced woman. I was in charge of a small London hospital.
You? In charge of a hospital?
Yes, but we couldn't find good trained nurses, so I decided to train nurses myself.
Is that so?
Indeed. And people began to study my methods of nursing, sanitation, and hospital organization.
Lady, we are involved in a war. Haven't you read the newspapers?
Yes, I've read the stories. Conditions are terrible. The wounded and sick soldiers are suffering, and I am horrified by what I see.
That's because you're a woman.
No, it's because men are dying on the floor, and rats are everywhere.
Well, yes, but...
There's no running water and no heat. Soldiers are dying.
Well, despite our shortage of help, I will not allow a woman nurse in this army hospital.
Doctor! Doctor! 500 unexpected casualties have just arrived!
Oh, no. Well, don't just stand there. Get to work.
Okay, so the doctors wouldn't listen to Florence Nightingale. What could she do next?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to find out tomorrow. So, friends, we'll see you next time right here on
Studio Classroom.